morning. Today's scripture is from Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and rich. And he sought to see Jesus, but could not on account of the crowd. He sought to see who Jesus was, but could not on account of the crowd, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Bless the reading of today's word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So unlike Zacchaeus, I don't really know what it feels like to be short, or of having to climb a sycamore tree because I can't see over the heads of people in a crowd. But I do know what it feels like to be lost, of wanting to change, but of not quite knowing how to do it. When I was in high school, I spent my summers working at Sandcastle. For two summers, I worked at the potato patch stand, selling potato patch French fries and chicken fingers. It was hot, sticky work. And the oil that we cooked the fries in didn't really help with my adolescent acne. The summer after I graduated from high school, my supervisor approached me about a promotion. She wanted to know if I wanted to work in the accounting office. None of you who have served on a finance committee with me are allowed to laugh right now. She said that I could trade in my potato patch apron for a crisp collared shirt and shorts instead of the really ugly, capri pant-ish pants they made us wear. But the best part about this is that I would get to work in air conditioning instead of in one of those sweltering boardwalk stands. The only problem with my new job is it required me to be good with this thing called numbers. As many of you know, math is just not my gift. I am not somebody who can add, subtract, multiply, and divide in my head. To this day, I have to work twice as hard to understand things like church budgets, clergy taxes, and barbell math. I was even worse at this at 17 because this was before everyone had a calculator on their phone. Looking back on that summer, I realized that I probably should have just said no to the promotion. Even as a 17-year-old, I knew that I am not good with numbers, and pretending that I wasn't going to end well. But instead of being honest with myself, I decided to double down and become the best accountant I could be. Stubbornness is not necessarily my favorite trait about myself, but it's there. But I found that the harder that I worked with these spreadsheets that we had to keep, the more I made a mess of the numbers and the data. After about a month of not sleeping, of not really seeing my friends, of just being a miserable person to be around, I realized that I was never going to be a good accountant. I resigned, and I went back to working at the potato patch. I remember putting on my potato patch apron, feeling all of 2 feet tall. In our scripture passage for today, I imagine this is how Zacchaeus is feeling when he sees Jesus approaching. Here we have a man who wants to change something about his life, but he's not really sure what he should change or how. Like our scripture passage for last week, Luke tells us that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Last week we learned that tax collectors purchased the right to collect taxes from the empire, and they made a profit by charging citizens more than what the empire demanded. So basically, they made their living by ripping off their neighbors. So while they were rich, they were despised by their communities. I'm sure that Jesus' disciples were not thrilled when they saw Zacchaeus in the crowd, because they would have seen him as a corrupt and sinful agent of a corrupt and sinful empire. But Jesus doesn't see Zacchaeus as corrupt or sinful. In fact, when Jesus sees Zacchaeus hanging from a sycamore tree, Jesus does something shocking. He invites himself over to Zacchaeus's. "Zacchaeus, hurry down, for I must stay at your house today." Here the disciples are a little bit confused, because by inviting himself over to Zacchaeus's, it looks like Jesus is approving of his lifestyle. This is why the disciples grumble. "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." But here Luke turns the disciples' expectations upside down. Because Zacchaeus approves of Jesus, Zacchaeus's life changes. Luke sets Zacchaeus up to suggest that it is because Zacchaeus approves of Jesus that he recognizes that Jesus is the only way out of this sinful and corrupt life that he's living. And for Zacchaeus, the turning point in his life is when Jesus invites himself over for dinner. Zacchaeus realizes that it is only through Jesus that he can change his life. And Zacchaeus responds to Jesus by immediately changing his behavior. He tells Jesus, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay them back 4 times as much." This is incredible. Zacchaeus isn't just promising to pay back what he owes, he's promising to pay back what he owes plus astronomical interest. He really goes above and beyond returning what he has defrauded. Luke includes this detail to show that Zacchaeus responds to God's call by radically changing his life. Because Jesus' mission is not necessarily to punish sinners, but to seek out and save the lost. If you take nothing else away from this parable for this morning, I hope you take away that salvation is only possible through Jesus. We can't earn our salvation, and many of us, all of us, don't deserve our salvation. It is only in, through, and as Jesus that salvation is possible. What this parable is trying to teach us is that it's not enough for us to confess that Jesus is Lord. Our lives have to reflect this confession. Luke tells us that salvation comes to Zacchaeus' house because he repented, he changed his ways, and he came to follow Jesus. This parable invites us to consider, what do we need to repent of in order to follow Jesus? Or put another way, what of our behavior needs to change? If we return to my story about my month in the sandcastle accounting office, I learned that I need to repent of going along with others to keep the peace. The whole reason that I agreed to work in the accounting office in the first place is because I didn't want to disappoint the supervisor who had appointed me. Even when I clearly have no talent or passion for accounting. And this laziness is something that I need to daily repent of, because I've learned that there's nothing noble in going through life doing everything you can to avoid conflict. But I've also learned that I can't overcome my inclination towards laziness on my own. This is why I need Jesus to break the power that this particular sin has over my life. And it is only because of Jesus that I have hope that this sin is not going to have the final say in who I am. Now, not all of us are corrupt tax collectors like Zacchaeus, or lazy and maybe a little bit stubborn teenagers like I was. But all of us have things we need to repent of if we want to follow Jesus. This week, I want to encourage you to take some time reflecting on what this might mean for you. What sins inhibit you from fully living as Jesus's disciple? What sins do you need to repent of if you want to follow him better? I ask you to do this not so you can spend the week feeling awful about yourself, but so that you can reflect on how your sin separates you from the love of God. And I imagine you'll find that the sin you need to repent of is one that you're doing subconsciously, or maybe that you don't think is actually that big of a deal. Friends, the good news of our passage is that it is through Jesus, he who bore the weight of our sins on the cross, that God's love and salvation is possible for all of us. Short tax collectors and really bad accountants included. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.